So right at this time, we want you just to come on and stand to your feet and just put your hand together for the man of God, Pastor Richard Smith.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We bless your name, God. We glorify you, God, because you are Lord. You are Lord. Repeat those words. That Jesus is Lord. Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Raise those hands if you believe today. Say, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Now put those hands together for Jesus. He's worthy. He saved you. He delivered you. He healed your body. He got you out of your bondage. He took you out of that pit of hell. And he's your Lord. He's your Savior. He's everything to us. Oh, hallelujah. Repeat after me these words from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2. Nehemiah, chapter 2, and verse 17. Then I said to them, you see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. Hallelujah. Father, today, as we hear from you, Lord, as the Holy Spirit, God, just use your servant to be able to encourage, bless someone today. May you, God, speak a word of life in someone's life. We receive that today. Before you be seated, look at someone and say, rebuild. Tell it, rebuild. 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 It's time for you, as you're being seated right now, to keep that in your heart. Rebuild. 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 Say, rebuild. Rebuild. The enemy has come into our camps. He has come into our homes. He's come into our communities. He's coming to our families, and he has brought disgrace, condemnation, guilt, feelings of abandonment, feelings of loneliness, feelings of low self-esteem, low self-confidence. The enemy has given us a perception that we are a second-class citizen, and he's used all kinds of tactics from terror and violence and spiritual demonic forces that has come into our families, our jobs, and even our finances. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Even our finances. He is trying to destroy the church of Jesus Christ, the now Jerusalem. We are the now Jerusalem. Say, I am Jerusalem. We are the now Jerusalem. And because of that, we are told by God that we are no longer to live in an attitude, a mindset, or a spirit of disgrace. But we must rebuild. We must rebuild. Rebuilding involves repairing. It involves restoring. It involves rejuvenation. Rebuilding involves putting on another face to your life. Another face to your life. You're going to remove the sad, depressed face. You're going to remove that spirit of despair and the spirit of disappointment. You're going to remove that spirit of feeling lonely, very discomfort. But today, you're going to go with an attitude. You're going to put on your hard hat. Somebody said, put on your hard hat. You're going to put on your hard hat. And you're going to make the enemy know, if whatever it takes, I'm ready to rebuild. I'm going to go through this situation, and rebuilding many times may involve lifestyles of force. In other words, you want to force your way in. I remember when I had to close one of my first drug crack houses. Hey, none of y'all know what a crack house is, do you? Okay. I had to close one of my first crack houses. Well, you know, I went in with the attitude, with my hard hat on. I had my hammer in my hand because I was about to close up that place. As soon as I run off the people that don't supposed to be in there, hello, somebody. And when I went in there, I put my hard hat on. I put my hammer in my hand, and I said, "Let's go, boys. We're about to close this shop down." Somebody say hallelujah. Some of you may have been in there. I don't know. I just thought I had to close it down. But I went in with an attitude, knowing the hard hat itself is not going to do anything for me. But the attitude, somebody says attitude. It's an attitude, it's an attitude, it's an attitude. The hard hat itself may not have done anything for me, but with the attitude I had, that I must go in with a determination that I will not be beaten down, I will not allow the enemy to put my neighborhood, my family, in disgrace. I'm not going to let it happen. Whatever it takes, we're going to go in here with a spirit of decision-making, a spirit of determination, a spirit of choosing how I'm going to live my life. Today, rebuilding means that you are not going to stand with any kind of negative relationships in your life. You're not going to allow a negative mindset to come in your life. You're not going to allow that spirit of condemnation and guilt to come in your life. You're going to force whatever it takes. You're going to force this thing. That means sometimes you got to get what you can. Be able to say, you know, Pastor Smith, whatever it takes, it may take a pair of pliers to make this thing come off. When those men were building the walls of Jerusalem, they had to use all kinds of tools to make those walls go up. But while they were rebuilding, they also had to pray, because whenever you're rebuilding your lives and rebuilding your family, you know who's going to come up? Satan himself. He will show up every time because he does not want things to look good. He wants our neighborhoods, our houses, our families, our children to look like a wreck. He wants you to feel like you're a wreck. He wants you to think like a wreck. He wants you to be in prison and be under his slavery and under his mastery. But today, you got to say to God, "God, I'm going to rebuild my life. I'm going to rebuild my family. I'm going to rebuild my children's confidence. I'm going to make them know that they are not going to continue to make bad grades in school. They will not continue to act like they are dummy in school. They're not going to continue to wake up at 8:15 in the morning when they're supposed to be at school at 8 o'clock in the morning. They're going to rebuild their whole mindset. Their education is important." How many believe education is important? Raise your hands. We're going to build a mindset in our children. Rebuild a mindset that just because your friends don't want to go to school, just because your friends don't want to do right, that's not you. You're going to have an attitude that I'm going to get everything I can while I can. So we got to rebuild the whole mindset. When the people of God went back to their homeland, went back to Jerusalem, that had fallen apart because of wars, because of violence. It sounds like where we're in right now, don't it? Hello, somebody. Okay? In that spirit of violence and wars, they had to go back to that community and begin to rebuild the walls of their homeland, of their Jerusalem, of their family. They had to rebuild the walls. Somebody said walls. Say walls. The Bible says they had to rebuild the walls. One of the first things you do when you build a building is you learn to make it fortified. You build the walls up. You make sure the walls are there. And then you put the roof on top, because whatever you build, you want to make sure it's not destroyed and not penetrated by folk. You want to put a kitchen set in and then you have no walls up. You want to put bathrooms in and you have no walls up, because you know what's going to happen next. The thieves going to come in and say, "Oh, that's a nice kitchen right there. They're going to walk right on in and steal it." The first thing you do is put walls up. Many times in our own lives, in our own families, we think, "I buy them some Christmas gifts, they'll be okay. Or I make sure we have a nice birthday party and my child be okay. Or I go take myself out to dinner and I'm going to feel fine." You know, that sounds good. And that's okay to do that. But if you're not fortified in your mind, if you don't have a spirit of fortification, that means that you're not going to allow the enemy to come in and steal the joy out your life. After you just finished having a wonderful birthday party, a wonderful family evening, you're not going to just say, lay down and say, it's okay now. We don't have to have any spiritual walls in our life. The walls represents protection. The walls represents a place of refuge. The walls represent a place of healing. The walls represent a place of deliverance. Because when you get your walls up for God, that means the devil cannot come in. The Bible tells us very clearly that when we have our spiritual walls up, Satan cannot penetrate our lives. You got to protect your family. Listen, men, women, male, female, grown folk. You know, your children depend upon you. You got to protect them. You got to make sure when the enemy come in to try to hurt your children, you got to be the wall of their life. You got to be the wall of their life. You got to be the very person that's going to take the shock and the bombs in their life. When your children hear arguments and hear a lot of stuff going on, you got to say, you know something? I know you heard those gunshots, but listen, daddy is here, mama is here, grandma is here. It's going to be all right. I'm going to be right here with you. And you are their spiritual wall. They know the next time they hear another gunshot, it's okay because mommy is there to protect me. Daddy is there to protect me. Say, I am their wall. Say, I am their wall. You their shelter. You're the person that's in their life. Don't ever underestimate your value. You see, when I'm rebuilding my wall, I am building my confidence in who I am. Who am I? Why am I here? What's the purpose of my being here? Number one, your purpose obviously is to make sure that Jesus get glorified out of your life. And we come on now. That's number one. But what happens after that? After you get glorified, what you supposed to do? You're supposed to act on his behalf. Say, I am his body. Say, I am his body. You are his body. You are the one that is you're the arms, you're the feet of Jesus. So when you rebuild the walls of your life, just as these men and women did, you know what they did? Soon as they got those walls built, they said, come on in, it's time to worship now. Soon as his walls got up, they said, okay, come on, kids. Everything all right now. Everything's protected now. When you build up your family, when you build your family up, you are, what you're really doing, you're showing them you love them. You're showing them that it's time for us to make our family be a family. Say it with me. Say, make my family be a family. You are the key to that. You are the key. You say, I don't have no children. My children don't live anymore. I believe in my heart that every child should be your responsibility. Oh, I know y'all don't have to clap for that because that's not our mindset anymore. You see, used to be way back when I did wrong, the neighbor, mama may be in work. She may be at work, okay? But the neighbor said, you can't do that. Mama don't like that. How many of them I'm talking about? Come on. Some of y'all didn't raise your hand because you're not there yet. That's the old school way. Because when we grew up, okay, when we grew up, you know, the neighbors look at all of us as their children. Come on now. When it's ice cream time, we all came in the house. When it's birthday time, you don't need an invitation for a birthday on those days. Whose birthday? Oh, come on now. Cake for everybody. You see, now you gotta have an invitation. You have an invitation? Nah, you don't belong here. Go back, go back, go back, go back. You little nasty look. Where you been anyway? Now, when we grew up, birthday time, cake time, ice cream time, we all come on in. How many remember those days? How many remember those? Isn't this some wonderful days, remember? Well, see, that's the attitude we gotta have. Some of you say, I don't have no children living with me. I'm happy they out the house. I don't want a child around me. But we have over 220,000 children in the city of Philadelphia. And many of those children don't have a mommy or a daddy that's looking after them. How many of you see children walking up down the street, 5-year-old, 6-year-old, by themselves? Say, I am their wall. Say, I am their wall. When the bullet hits, when the bullets start going, come on, baby, you can come in my house. Come on, come on. Okay, sit, go down on the floor. It's going to be okay. You are. Because they don't know what to do. They'll get killed out there. They'll run to the bullet, not from the bullet. But because you are their spiritual walls, you are their mental wall, you are the emotional wall. You're the one that God has called to be able to pray for them, anoint them, speak the word of life to them, rebuke the devil out their lives. Let the enemy know, I dare not allow you to touch one of these children. I don't care if I don't know his name, her name, but these children belong to God. Every pedophile got to go. Every spirit of abuse got to go. It got to go. It got to go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Put your hard hat on. You're about to do war. Put your hard hat on. You're about to show the devil you mean business. Put your hard hat on. You're about to go into a dangerous zone. Somebody said danger. Said danger. David said, though I walk through the valley of the what? I will fear no, because I got my hard hat on. I got my hard hat on. I got the helmet of salvation. The hard hat in the Bible represents a helmet of salvation, a helmet of protection, a helmet of healing, a helmet of restoration, a helmet of deliverance in my life. It's time for the church of Jesus Christ to rebuild. The Bible says in Nehemiah 2:19, repeat after me these words, said, but when Sanballat, the Horonite, Tobiah, the Ammonite, official, and Kishim, the Arab, heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. What is this you are doing? They asked, are you rebelled against the king? Listen to that. The Ammonites, the Ammonite. It's very unfortunate, but many times the people that we feel like are the closest to us, our family, are the very people that oftentimes come against us. The Ammonites. Say the Ammonite. The Ammonites are the cousins to the Jews. They come from Lot. Lot is the nephew of Abraham. How many of you ever heard of Abraham in the Bible? Well, Abraham had a nephew called Lot. And Lot's had an unfortunate situation where his two daughters came in and had a relationship with him. And because of that, they had two kids. And one of them was called Ammon, which is the Ammonites. Well, these Ammonites are the main ones that's trying to stop the people of God from rebuilding their lives up again. And unfortunately, many times, though you try very hard, but sometimes your own children will try to stop you from progressing. Sometimes your uncle or your aunt will get jealous of you. Sometimes even husband and wives get jealous of each other. Sometimes there's family members that's trying their best to stop you from coming to church when you're trying to do everything you can to come in the house of a God. Oh, come on now. Hallelujah. And oftentimes you are sideswiped. Sideswipe means you didn't even know it was coming. You didn't know they were like that. You didn't even understand their motives. You didn't realize why they would even treat you such a way. But God said to you today, it's no need for you to continue to meditate on the mocking and the ridicule and all the bad names they're calling you on. Because God says to you, it's time for you to challenge the negative. I want you to repeat those words with me. Say, challenge, challenge the negative. Challenge the negative. Challenge that negative. They say you're not pretty. You got a big nose. Your face look like Frankenstein. Oh, come on now. Okay. You look like Urkel himself coming out of cloud nine. You know, they will call you names. They will make fun of your glasses. They'll make fun of your hair. That's the worst thing with children and even some grown folk. The first thing they look at with girls is their hair. How many girls know what I'm talking about? If you come into the school and you have a bad hair, I know what I'm talking about. Hey, man, it happened to my daughter and my granddaughter. If you come to school with a bad hair day, you will get put down. Come on, girls, say hey, man. You wonder how come these spend so much money on their hair? Why they spend 6 hours on their hair? I know a lot of the men look at them and say, you know, 6 hours, I mean 8 hours for a hairstyle? It's not so much the fact they're looking for a nice hairstyle as they're looking for a make sure that they don't get ridiculed and looked down upon because their hair is out of whack. So oftentimes men don't understand women. They understand why are they doing that? Because their hair is their glory, the Bible says. Say, my hair is my glory. Not only a woman can say that. So many times, you know, they look at that. And then they look at your face. If say you have short hair, they look at your face. Then they look at, you know, your eyes. In other words, the goal is the enemy to make you feel like you're not pretty. You are a bad person. And for men, you know, they look at us and they say, you know, where your muscles at? You little weakling. Boys are told not to cry. Boys are told when you fall, boy, brush, you all right, wipe those tears off them. Get back out there, boy. Come on, just get back out there. Yeah, you're not supposed to cry. Boys are told not to cry, which means then they call us what they call S-I-S-S-Y, okay? They call us those names. And then, you know, when you go to school, you know, people, they like to make fun of you, especially if you raise your hand up and you don't answer the question right. In other words, you need to challenge that negative. So challenge the negative. Challenge that negative. They're not going to stand there and let the devil just roll over you with a Mack truck and just push you down. No, challenge them. Challenge them. Oh, you too fat. You too skinny. You weakly. Challenge them. Challenge that negative attitude. You're not challenge the person, but challenge that spirit. Challenge that attitude. Because God says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Challenge that. Let the devil know, I'm not going to accept that. I refuse to accept that. I'm going to win over the spirit of negativism. Your mind will tell you, you can't learn that computer. You can't go back to school. You can't save no money. But challenge that negative. Look at your life. Look in the mirror and say, you know something? I am not dumb. I am not stupid. I am fully aware that I am intelligent. God made me, and I'm going to learn everything I can while I can. Challenge that spirit of negativism. You can't save no money. Yes, I can. Devil, if I got to stop buying a honey bun every day, I'm going to put my 50-cent money on a honey bun somewhere else in a bank account. Hello? If I got to just stop buying a Pepsi once a day, if you stop buying a Pepsi just once a day, put that $1.50 that you spend on the Pepsi every day for 30 days and see how much money more you have in your account. Say, challenge it. Challenge it. I want you to challenge the negative that you cannot save money. You cannot get you a nice husband, a nice wife. Challenge it. Oh, you know, your breath smells so bad, nobody gonna want to marry you. You know, look at that low-down job. Yeah, you only make $7.50 an hour. Nobody want to marry somebody like that. Challenge it. Challenge that negative that you just do this and you just do that and nobody want to look down, look at you, look up to you. I challenge you in the name of Jesus. So challenge it. The spirit of negativism, I bind you right now and I cast you out in the name of Jesus. Every negative, defeated, discouraging, depressed spirit, I bind you in Jesus' name. Say it with me. Say, Lord, I bind and cast out every negative, defeated, discouraging attitude. I bind it and cast it out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Give God a praise if you believe that today. Give God a praise. Give God a praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No spirit of negativism will stop you anymore. You are now about to enter into a whole new era of healing, restoration, and deliverance in your life. When we decide to challenge that negative, then at that point in time, we need to understand there needs to be a different spiritual face to your life. You need to begin to realize that. Nehemiah 3:5. The Bible says, the next section was repaired by the men of Tekoa, but their nobles would not put their shoulders to the work under their supervisors. Listen to this. When you make a decision to put your heart on, and you make a decision to go in and say, I'm going to put everything I have to this task. And you look at your family, your wife, or your husband, or your daughter, or your nephew, or your niece, or your grandmother. You say, you know, I'm about to go under a great task for my life. Can we just do this together? Can we pray together? And they may initially say, yes, I'm with you, son. I'm with you, daughter. Or I'm with you, grandpa, grandson, grandpa. And then all of a sudden, something happens. They said, you know, I don't know if I'm going to go that far with you. You know, you want to fast and pray how many days? I don't think so. In other words, there's times in your life, in my life, people that you feel like should go all the way with you, they will not go all the way with you. The people that was working right side by your side, there's times they would say, you know, I'm not at that level yet. And that's when you need to understand in your own personal life, there's some missions in your life you have to go on. You have to go by yourself. But what does that mean? That means that when you get in the house done and your other family members say, I'm not doing the house this week and I'm going to watch TV. Your daughter looks at the TV screen while you're cleaning underneath her feet, washing her clothes, and your attitude is that I'm mad, I'm upset. It's time for you to stay on track. Do not allow anybody to stop you from rebuilding your wall. There'll be times in your life, the folk you go for, and you say, you know, can you just loan me $100 this week? Because I just really need that $100 so I can be able to, you know, make it to work. And they say, I don't have it. Well, you remember last year, I just gave you $1,500, you know, when you were like down and out. Oh, well, I don't have it this year. I'm sorry. I just don't have it this week. You know, in other words, stay on track. Do not allow the enemy to make you have a negative attitude and a spirit of feeling like you are in this by yourself. Because the Bible says, if God be for us, he is more than the world. I don't care who say, I'm not going to get out there. You got that, okay? It's too cold for me out there. You got that. You know, I can't handle that. Listen, you got to tell God, if I got to do this by myself, with myself, I'm going to make it to the top. I'm going to make it to the place that God want me to be. I'm going to go all the way for you, Lord. I'm going to stay on track for you, God. I'm on a mission and I'm not going to stop. Say, stay on track. Say, stay on track. Don't allow your family situations you see. And, you know, oftentimes it's not really intentional by them. They're not intentional. There was one time when Peter looked at Jesus and told Jesus, Jesus, you're not going to the cross because that's not what I want you to do. Well, it wasn't something that Peter was really trying to stop Jesus. You know, he didn't understand his whole mission. He didn't understand his whole focus. So Jesus looked back at Peter, one of his most favorite disciples, most dedicated disciples, most committed disciples, and he looked at him eyeball to eyeball, and he said these very strange words to most of us. Get behind me, Satan. Wow. It's like looking at your child and saying, get behind me, Satan. Like looking at your own closest family member and say, get behind me, Satan. Because there's times when your children or your family or your loved ones don't understand the mission that you're on. There's times where they don't understand the mission that you're on. They don't understand the mission that you're on. They don't understand that. And when they don't understand it, they say, you're handling too much. You can't handle that task. You're doing too much. Just tell them, I got a mission. I'm on a mission. I got to complete my mission. I got to fulfill this goal in my life. I remember my wife was going to medical school, and some of the church members said, where is your wife at? Well, she's studying right now. Well, she's supposed to be at church, you know. She's supposed to be at church, you know. It's church time, you know. She got to be at church. No, she got to study right now. You know, she's up with a bunch of dead bodies in the room somewhere trying to pull all the dead bodies apart so she can figure out what's going on with them. So when you're a little sick behind, when you get in the hospital, she need to figure out what's wrong with your kidneys, okay? Hello, somebody. In other words, there's times your church won't understand what you're going through. Sometimes your friends won't understand what you're going through. Sometimes your pastor don't understand what you're going through. But it's not intentional, negative, what they're trying to do to you. It's just that a lot of times we just don't fully understand the plan. We cannot see the future down the road. We cannot see you about to get your MD. You about to become an RN. You about to become a lawyer. We don't understand that I'm going to call you one day because I need you for this case, okay? And you're my friend. Hello, somebody. You see, we don't always see that. We only have a narrow view of life. We only can see what we can see, what I want right now. But there's some of us today realize that, you know, we all in this together. Whatever I gotta do, I got your back. There's times when my wife was studying hard, I had to go to the laundromat because we didn't have a washer and dryer. I had to go to the laundromat and wash her clothes, wash everything, everything. Somebody say everything. Say everything. In the laundromat, and they look at me folding bras and putting panties on. Oh, come on now. They said, what you got going on over here? I said, it's okay, honey. I'm doing what I gotta do. Bye. You see, some men think that's not me. Listen, men, I want to tell you bold face up in your face that you gotta do what you gotta do because you are one. 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 I may not get nothing from the men. Come on, ladies, can I get something from you right now? Come on, ladies, I got a high five for you right now. A high five, a high five, a high five. And they look at me and say, well, how did you get where you get? Why come you doing so well? You look okay, because I learned, okay, that I'm one flush at an early age. Hallelujah. Didn't have a mommy and daddy to show me that either because they were divorced when I was 3 years old. But listen to you. Listen to me. I learned it from God. You don't have to say, nobody showed me. Nobody told me anything. Just keep coming to church. Coming through those doors, honey. Somebody said that years ago to you, didn't they? Just come through those doors, honey. It's coming through those doors, honey. It's going to be okay. Just come through those doors, honey. You see, what we fail to realize that God got examples sitting up in here, but you got to listen to their story because you don't know my story. Somebody say, you don't know my story. Look at somebody say, you don't know my story. You don't know my story. You don't know my story. Hallelujah. Stay on track. Say, stay on track. Say, stay on track. We are full of joy. Look at somebody say, I'm full of joy. So I'm just full of joy. I'm full of it. I'm full of it. I'm just full of joy. So why are you laughing and whistling all the time? Because I'm full of joy. So I'm full of joy. Well, don't you see that the things are going bad here and people are getting killed and robbed and things are happening? But I'm just full of joy. You know, I have no space for nothing else. See, when I'm full of joy, I don't have space for depression. Hello? Say, when I'm full of joy, I don't have space for discouragement. When I'm full of joy, up all the way up here, there's no space for defeat. When I'm full of joy, I'm not here to be sad. Oh, come on now. See, say, get full of it. Say, get full of it. Say it again. Get full. Get full. Get full of joy. The Bible says we are full of joy even when we suffer. Even when I'm suffering, I'm full of joy. Even when my body hurt, I'm full of joy. Even when my car break down, I'm full of joy. Even when the bank account starts bouncing like a basketball, okay? I'm full of joy. We know that our suffering gives us the strength to go on. The strength to go on produces character, and character produces hope. In my closing today, I want you to think about these words. Repairing relationships. Say repair. You see, when you're going through problems in your life, when you're going through issues in your life, God says that's so he can build character in your life. And the only way I can build character, that I need to have strength. And the only way I'm going to get strength, I need to go through a time of repair. Stuff don't need repaired until it's broke down. Hello? You don't repair anything until it's broke down. You don't call a repairman to come in and say, come on, I need y'all to fix this for me. Fix what? That's not broke. Well, fix, come on, fix this over here. No, stove is okay too. Okay, well, how about over here? Fix it. Oh, well, that works fine. Well, why didn't you call me? Because I thought I need some repair done. You don't need repair done if nothing is broke, but you need repairs when things are broke. When things are broke. But when they break, what's the purpose of them breaking? It's that you can get strength. You can get strength. You can get spiritual, emotional, mental strength. So how do I repair it, Pastor Smith? Well, I pull out a wrench. It's called fasting. Then I pull out something else, okay? And it's called prayer. Okay, and then when my light bills get really behind and I don't know why the enemy is trying to attack my finances, then I'm gonna put out something else. Okay, it's called perseverance. You see, in other words, I got tools. See, devil, I got tools in this bag that you don't know that I know how to use them. And when you started coming against me, devil, when you started trying to hurt me, devil, I know God wants me to build character in my life, because character is called the fruit of the Spirit. Character is called love, joy, peace. Character is called long-suffering, self-control. How am I going to get self-control? How am I going to get character in my life? Because I got to begin to learn how to repair my life according to God's word. So the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but our weapons of our warfare are spiritual. What that means? That means I pray. I fast, I worship. So when I begin to get attacked from the devil on my job, in my family, when the enemy tried to physically come against me while riding a train, coming down the street, and I hear gunshots, that's when I pray. I call on God. The Bible says, do not fear. Do not be dismayed, because I am your God. I am your right hand. I will uphold you. When I look like life feels like it's about to go under, the Bible says in Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I started worshiping God, praising God. I started rejoicing in the Lord, because that's where my joy comes from. Somebody say, Lord, I'm repairing. I'm repairing. Every day in your life, you need to realize life is filled with repairs. Don't ever walk out your door thinking everything gonna work perfectly, because we live in an imperfect society. Things gonna go break down, relationships gonna break down, things gonna happen, children get sick, don't say, oh my, what's gonna happen now? No, just think about repair. Say repair, repair, repair. Even when people don't really want to talk to you on your job, say repair, say repair. Repair. When they want to come against you and say you did something that you really knew you didn't do, but you did it right, but somebody came behind you and messed up the books, say repair. Say repair. Say repair. You see, there's times when the enemy wants you to feel like you are the bad person. You are the wrong person. You're doing everything right to make the relationship correct. You're trying to mend things. You're trying to make it right. But the devil doesn't want that to happen. But it's time for you to think, God, I'm going to repair. When I rebuild, I repair. When I rebuild, I repair. It's time for the church of Jesus Christ to rise up out of your spirit of feeling like you can't handle this problem. Yes, you can. God says, get your paint. Somebody say, get your paint. Because where there was a wall that was all filled with a bunch of blackness and pains and hurt, you're going to repaint that wall. You're going to make that wall look like it's brand new. You see, you got an attitude that wherever it takes, God, I'm going to repair things in my life. I'm not going to allow the enemy to let my life look black, ugly, filthy. Oh, no. I'm going to repaint this. Because I believe that there's something better for me. I will not allow my child, I will not allow my family to feel like we are in the negative. We're going to paint this wall and we're going to be in the positive. We're not in the black. We're not in a place of spiritual blackness and darkness. We're going to change this scene around. Say, Lord, I'm rebuilding my life. I'm rebuilding my self-esteem. I'm rebuilding my attitude. I'm rebuilding my mindset. I'm rebuilding my whole life from the ground up. I'm rebuilding. I'm rebuilding. I'm rebuilding, God. I'm rebuilding, God. I'm rebuilding, God. I'm rebuilding, God. Wherever it takes, God, I'm rebuilding, God. Right now, I believe the Holy Spirit is talking to someone. The enemy has tried his best to bring your life to a place of total despair. And you overcome that. But then there's other challenges ahead of you. There's other issues before you. And the devil is trying to make you feel like you should take anything to come your way. It's not going to happen. I want what God wants for me, and I want the best that God wants for me, and I'm going to wait on God until God supplies the best for me. I want this thing to turn around in such a way that I'm going to win, I'm going to overcome, and I'm not going to allow no one to stop me from being who God told me to be. Hallelujah! 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 Which means, it's time for you to no longer listen to your enemies. When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated, we all returned to the wall, each to our own work. Say with me these words: to overcome every obstacle. Stand on your feet right now. Say, Lord, I'm overcoming every obstacle while I rebuild. While I rebuild, while I rebuild, while I rebuild, your enemy is going to constantly come against you. But you're going to overcome every obstacle, every obstacle, every obstacle in the name of Jesus. I declare it in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I don't know what you're going to do, but I know what I'm going to do. I think I'm going to pick up prayer tool. Somebody said prayer tool. I want you to come, amen, and get a tool out of here, amen. This is your two. Come on, get your two. It's a two for everybody. Amen. It's not going to hurt you. Praise God. So I want you to declare this your two day against the devil. Amen. Praise God. Just don't take it home. I need them to fix the bathroom tomorrow. Amen. Hi, girl. You're going to be stapling the devil to the wall. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes I use a spoon too, Mary, to fix things. Amen. Praise God. I use a little bit of everything. Amen. You can handle that knife. Stab that devil to it. Amen. Come on now. Get your two. Get your two. Praise God. Somebody going to scrape the devil off that wall. Hallelujah. You're going to screw him off the wall. Oh, come on. Oh, here you go. Praise God. Get your two. Oh, I got twos for everybody up in here. Hallelujah. Two for everything. Everything. You can have two back. You're welcome. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. This is for a water hose. Extend your water. Amen. Because you don't know what it is. I'm telling you what it is now. Here you go. Get your two. Get your two. Once you get your two, I'm going to just stand on to the front. Amen. So I know who got the two. Praise God. Amen. Oh, okay. Hey, there's your two, honey. You're going to put some fire on that devil in Jesus' name. Say fire.
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 Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what this is. A test. Amen. You're going to test all the fireworks of the devil. Let them know. Amen. Great is he that's in me than he that is world. Come on. Go on to the side and get your two for me. Amen. So I know who got one. Pray. Oh, I got one over here. Here you go. Amen. two, amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Here you go. You want to snipe that devil apart. You want to send him off the walls in Jesus' name. She praise God. You want to snipe him apart? Anybody else didn't get a two yet? We got more. Who else didn't get a two? Who else didn't get a two? Here you go, sweetheart. Scrape. Anybody else didn't get a two? Amen. Praise God. Anybody else? Anybody else didn't get a two? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Anybody else get a two? Amen. Somebody can have the paint. Amen. You might want the paint can. Praise God. Amen. Okay. Are you all the twos you can get? I understand. I do too, girl. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Say, raise your tool up. Say, Jesus. Jesus. I'm rebuilding my life with prayer. Deliverance. I'm rebuilding my life with prayer, deliverance, fasting, worship, giving, celebrating. I rebuild today. I'm starting right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I am here to rebuild, restore, repair, overcome. I am here in Jesus' name. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, as we hold a symbolic tool in our hands, as we, God, hold them up high, we believe, God, that this represents a spiritual repairing, rebuilding, restoration, defeating the enemy, calling the devil by his name. We refuse to accept defeat. I will not accept defeat. Say, I will not accept defeat. I will not accept defeat. In Jesus' name, I declare restoration, healing, deliverance in my life. Somebody right now thinking, well, you know, I got to accept this sickness, this pain in my life. No, you don't. Right now, through the power of prayer, whatever it is, whatever sickness in your body, whatever emotional sickness, even the fear of your past, going through a post-traumatic stress situation in your life, right now, we're going to rebuke that. We're going to bind it. It will not hurt you. I want you to repeat these words with me. Say, Jesus, I bind and cast out every evil spirit of pain, discomfort, disease, sickness, infirmity in my life. I bind. In the name of Jesus, I cast